I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Monday, May 6th. A plan to expand the Quincy Center Redevelopment District will be discussed by a Citizens Advisory Committee today. An open public meeting is scheduled for 2 p.m. in the Planning Department's conference room in the Coddington Building to review Mayor Thomas Koch's proposed Amendment Number 6, which would expand the area to be redeveloped to include the Star Market and Granite Place shopping plazas, areas north of Dimmock Street, including the Planet Fitness area on Adams Street, and to the south down to School Street. The new district would also include the Acapulco's restaurant site in Quincy Center. The committee will hear a presentation of the history of the Quincy Center redevelopment project, review the latest plan, and then organize a report to be presented to the City Council. Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch will present his proposed budget for the next fiscal year to the City Council tonight. Traditionally, the mayor presents the budget to the council on the first Monday of May. Koch scheduled to speak to the council tonight at 7 in the Great Hall at Quincy City Hall. Councilors will be checking the proposed salary for the mayor after a consultant recently recommended more than doubling the salary to between $300,000 and $370,000 per year. Before tonight's meeting, the City Council Ordinance Committee will meet at 6:30 and talk about a plan that would make Lunar New Year a legal city holiday. At-large councilors Nina Liang, Noel DeBona, and Scott Campbell, Ward 2 Councilor Richard Ash, and Ward 3 Councilor Ian Kane are co-sponsoring that proposal, saying a Lunar New Year holiday makes sense because of the large Asian population in Quincy. The mayor says he supports a Lunar New Year holiday in the schools, but not citywide. 7 residents from Quincy were among 32 Quincy College students recently inducted into the local chapter of Phi Theta Kappa, an international academic honor society that focuses on leadership, scholarship, fellowship, and service. Ceremonies at Quincy's Terrell Room included welcoming remarks from College President Dr. Rick DeCristofaro and Provost Dr. Servette Yatin, followed by a keynote address from Dr. Laurel Kornheiser, a professor of English and Humanities. Students who joined the society are entering a scholarly fellowship with the presence of almost 1,300 community college campuses and 11 nations. More than 3.5 million students have been inducted since the society was founded in 1908. Steward Healthcare, the troubled operator of 8 hospitals in Massachusetts, filed for bankruptcy yesterday. In a statement, the company said it's seeking the process voluntarily to facilitate a restructuring. The for-profit, private equity-backed hospital group's troubles exploded into view this year with the revelation that it owed about $50 million in unpaid rent. Steward officials subsequently closed one facility and have expressed interest in selling their other holdings. The Dallas-based company said it is finalizing the terms of debtor-in-possession financing with its landlord Medical Properties Trust for $75 million and up to an additional $225 million upon the satisfaction of certain conditions. The company statement emphasized that hospitals, medical centers, and physicians' offices will remain open during the bankruptcy proceedings. Jurors in the Karen Reed murder trial briefly stepped outside Dedham's Norfolk Superior Court on Friday morning and traveled to Canton for a tour of the crime scene where the body of Boston police officer John O'Keefe was found on a stormy winter night. All 12 jurors in the case took a 20-minute bus ride south to Canton for a court-conducted view of 34 Fairview Road. They were asked to take detailed notes on everything they were shown. Prosecutors say Reed dropped O'Keefe off at a house party at that address just after midnight, January 29, 2022. As Reed made a three-point turn, she allegedly struck O'Keefe and drove away, leaving him to die as a blizzard raged. State police blocked off the neighborhood while jurors got an up-close look at the luxury Lexus SUV Reed was said to be driving when the alleged incident unfolded. Videos and photos of the vehicle in question showed some small rusted imperfections on the rear of the vehicle and a missing rear right turn signal assembly. Assistant DA Adam Lally had asked the jurors to take notes of the vehicle's center console, which appeared to have been stripped of various accessories. The state is using Reed's cracked right taillight as evidence that she ran down O'Keefe in reverse with her SUV after a night of drinking. The Reed's lawyers plan to argue during the trial somebody other than Reed was responsible for O'Keefe's death, but have only floated a theory that he was beaten inside the home and left for dead outside. Jury resumes deliberations this morning. In an executive session on Friday morning, a decision was made by the Board of Selectmen for Abington Police Chief David Del Papa to conclude his tenure in that position. In a joint statement released by the Select Board Chairman Kevin Donovan, the decision will be effective immediately. Details regarding the decision to terminate Del Papa in his role are unclear. Del Papa allegedly retaliated against one of his officers by taking away his police dog. Del Papa has been Abington's police chief since 2021. No further information was immediately available. Federal officials found a local window cleaning company is responsible for an employee's fatal 29-story fall from a building in downtown Boston last October. After failing to inspect equipment for damage, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration issued Boston-based company Sky Safety Incorporated citations totaling almost $450,000 for repeated, willful, and serious violations of safety standards. The employee, Nicholas Marks of Weymouth, died on October 23rd of last year while cleaning windows of a high-rise office tower at 100 Summer Street. Marks was trying to climb into the bosun's chair, a suspended seat used to perform work while hanging from ropes, when an anchor line snapped, causing him to fall. A lifeline also snapped while Marks was falling. Investigators found that Sky Safety willfully exposed employees to fall hazards by not ensuring fall protection systems were in working condition at that site. The federal agency also found Sky Safety failed to properly train employees on how to inspect equipment for wear, used rope descent systems, lifelines, and lanyards that were not protected from damage, like cuts and erosion, and didn't use the only certified building anchorage for the rope descent system. A Kingston centenarian recently received the Congressional Gold Medal at the Massachusetts State House for her inspiring role as a trailblazer for women. Margaret Spaluzzi is 102 years old and believed to be one of the last surviving Rosie the Riveters in Massachusetts, or more specifically, Wendy the Welder, having worked as a welder at the Hingham Shipyard during World War II, 1942 to 1945. Spaluzzi said she was grateful to lend a hand while her husband Tony worked at the Charlestown Navy Yard and during his deployment overseas. Spaluzzi said she doesn't remember her pay rate, but that one check was for $200. Last Thursday, State Representative Kathy LaNatra presented her with the prestigious medal at a Beacon Hill ceremony attended by state and military leaders. On the platform X, State Representative Dylan Fernandez posted a photo of Spaluzzi with a celebratory cake featuring the iconic "We Can Do It" phrase and an image of Rosie the Riveter. Spaluzzi was invited to a ceremony at the White House back in April but couldn't attend. According to the Rosie the Riveter Trust, Spaluzzi is not the last living Rosie the Riveter in Massachusetts. Well, thousands of area residents took part in Project Bread's 56th Walk for Hunger, which is expected to raise more than $1 million to help get food assistance to kids and families across the Commonwealth. Money raised through the walk is funding the organization's mission to ensure kids have reliable access to food to directly help individuals and families and to advocate at the state and federal levels for expedited and efficient relief for those in need. WOC funds are also supporting community organizations that are helping people access food locally and ensuring communities have the resources necessary to respond to the hunger crisis now and over the long road to recovery ahead. Well, opening ceremonies for the 40th annual Quincy Senior Olympics will be held tonight at 6:45 at the Kennedy Center. Prior to the ceremony, there will be a one-mile walk at 6 p.m. A volleyball game will be held at 7:15. And closing ceremonies for the ceremony awards and for the games is scheduled for May 23rd at 6 p.m. at the Kennedy Center. A check of business news this morning. Stocks soared on Friday. The Dow shot up 450 points. The NASDAQ rose 315. The S&P is up 63. Asian stocks also higher. The euro and the dollar both rose, and oil is down to $78 a barrel. In sports, well, it's on to round two. This time the Bruins and the Panthers at Florida tonight at 8 p.m. for game one. And Cleveland will be taking on the Celtics at the Garden tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Red Sox beat the Twins 9-2. They'll be in Atlanta tomorrow at 7:20. Forecast from the National Weather Service today, turning partly cloudy and mild, the high of 72 degrees. For tonight, clear, low 48. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and pleasant with a high 76. More showers on Wednesday, high of 63. Showers Thursday and a high 59. For the boater, waves about a foot. Southwesterly winds at 5 knots become east later today. High tide 10:30 a.m. Sunrise at 5:32, sets at 7:49. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Monday, May 6th.